Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As the NFL ratings have gone back up and there are very few scandals, and our closest thing to a scandal this year is what, Le'Veon Bell, which has nothing to do with Roger Goodell. Maybe the turmoil over the initial quarterback hits that were being called in that first month. But even though the NFL insists that they were not changing their emphasis, fewer of those have been called, those unnecessary roughness or roughing the passer calls. I mean, you still have to look out for them, but that's also died down. In terms of protesting during the national anthem, there might be one or two players who are still doing it, but networks are not showing the national anthem as much. I will say I so appreciated seeing the national anthem at the various stadiums on Sunday. That was awesome because of Veterans Day and because of the salute to service and how many military members and veterans were in attendance. It was awesome to see the humongous flags and the patriotism in all the stadiums. And so that's also not a major point of contention anymore. The ratings are on the way up. The scandals are down. And you know what we haven't heard from? Who we haven't heard from? Roger Goodell. I have no idea where the man is. I feel like I haven't seen him on TV in forever. We haven't heard from him. He's just quietly watching the NFL rebound from what was a rough couple of seasons. He is paid to be the point man. He's paid to be the mouthpiece. He's paid to take the hits, to deflect them from the owners. And right now, there are not a whole lot of hits being thrown his way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It doesn't mean that I don't want the NFL to fork it over. The last we knew, the Salute to Service Fund was up to about $6 million. But I feel like we're boosting that total even as we head through the overnight hours here on After Hours. So if you want to go to the top of my Twitter page, I have pinned a tweet that uses the hashtag Salute to Service. All you got to do is retweet it or send your own tweet with the hashtag Salute to Service. Every time that hashtag is used or retweeted, the NFL is donating $25 to its military nonprofit partners. So different organizations that benefit both veterans as well as active military. So do it, do it, do it. Any of my tweets from football on Sunday, I tweeted about a variety of teams and topics, and I just threw in the hashtag Salute to Service every single time. And so if you want to find it, it's on the top of my Twitter page. Just retweet away. We've also got a lot of you weighing in about the coaches that you feel like need to be ushered out, where the places where there need to be coaching changes. So you can do that on Twitter or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Our phone number is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. We're going to get back to a couple of games, including the AFC East, because we just had a caller who suggested that Tom Brady was feeble and frail. But before we do that, I want to mention what I heard from Jason LaCanfora on Sunday, which is that the Ravens and John Harbaugh are very likely headed to, and I will use his terminology, quote, a mutual parting of the ways. I love that. It's meant to save face and to not point fingers when very often it's not mutual at all. A mutual parting of the ways in 2019. Now, he is not, and we learned this last week when we spent time with Rob Long of our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7 The Fan. He's not in danger of losing his job in the middle of the season. That's not how Steve Bisciotti operates, the owner. And that's been confirmed by Jason LaCanfora. However, with next year supposedly the final year of his contract, there's not going to be any extension coming. And when Ozzie Newsome is done after the season and they've got this new GM and Eric DaCosta taking over, the Ravens potentially facing a rebuild, it looks like John Harbaugh, it's the right time to part ways with John Harbaugh. Because what you're doing is you're turning it over. You're starting fresh. You're hitting the reset button. You know, a recent example of this was Indianapolis. After Peyton Manning wanted to continue playing a football, they weren't going to keep using them as their quarterback. So what did they do? They changed coaches. They changed a general manager. They changed their quarterback when they drafted Andrew Luck. Now, since then, they've changed quarterbacks. I'm sorry, they've changed coaches and general managers again. But the whole idea was, if you're going to bring in a new GM, if you're going to start to make personnel changes, you might as well get the coach that you feel like fits that. So sweeping changes and making them all at once. So Harbaugh was hired back in 2008. And Joe Flacco was the first round pick. And of course, they won the Super Bowl in 2012. But since then, they're not even 500. They're 44 and 45 since winning that title. And it's not fair to put it all on Harbaugh, because you remember the last two seasons, they've had so many injuries. They've been first or second in the NFL in terms of the number of players on IR. With all of the front office changes and the way they're looking at their team moving forward, this might be the right chance for John Harbaugh to start something new. Again, not all Harbaugh's fault. The drafts haven't been great. They've got older players that are making a lot of money. Flacco, by the way, may not start next week. He's got a hip injury, and the talk was they were maybe looking to give Lamar Jackson the starts anyway for the rest of the season. Because it's all gone horribly wrong. So there's one area where you could see some sweeping change coming up in the next few weeks and then into the offseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Tennessee Titans just went through this, right? They've got a brand new head coach in Mike Vrabel. And they were taking on the Patriots and Bill Belichick on Sunday. And it was pretty impressive to see how they got after Brady and how they stuffed the run from the very beginning. So there was a lot of pressure on Brady. You can tell that Vrabel was part of the Patriots family. He knew exactly what to do. He knew how to game plan for Brady. So they had two sacks in the first half, and the Pats were only 2 of 8 on third down. Meanwhile, Tennessee is not quite scoring at will, but they were having a lot of success. Corey Davis was winning every event at field day. How many times was he wide open and able to gain massive chunks of yardage after the catch? He was matched up with Stephon Gilmore, who had a cold, reportedly. So Corey Davis was having a whole lot of fun, and Tennessee scored on 4 of its first 6 drives. They also pitched a shutout in the second half. How about that? 4 punts by the Pats and a turnover on downs. So the Patriots themselves only had 284 yards. What were we talking about earlier? Do you guys remember we were talking about how many rushing yards the Cleveland Browns had? And that I said they probably had more rushing yards than some teams had total yards? Pretty darn close. The Browns with... No, it wasn't the Browns. Who was it? Wait, I'll remember in a second. It wasn't the Browns. It was another team that had... Oh, it was the Seahawks that had 273 yards rushing. Well, the Patriots only had 284 total yards. It's not a comparison you would expect. But their 6-game win streak comes to an end for a couple of reasons. They couldn't stop the run, and they couldn't rush the ball themselves. Derrick Henry, he was also rumbling and rushing over people. And then Brady got pulled midway in the fourth quarter, which totally makes sense. There's absolutely no reason to leave him out there to get hit again and to potentially get hurt. And so they still didn't have Gronk, and Sony Michel was back but was relatively ineffective. You got to credit Tennessee for how well they played, specifically in the trenches. And so with Mike Vrabel as their head coach and being a major part of the game plan against his former organization, you could see that was absolutely successful.
You know, being able to combine the rush, the different patterns, and the coverage that we, you know, were able to execute, I think that all goes a long way.
give them a lot of credit. They made a lot of plays, kind of played from ahead. You know, it was right where they wanted to be. We just couldn't do enough early offensively to put any pressure on them. And there was really no pressure on them all day.
So Tom Brady finishes up with no touchdown passes, 254 yards. And definitely it was a game in which he got beat up and the Patriots got beat up. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. There is another piece to come out of this, and that is the vindication, the vengeance of Deion Lewis, who had a successful tenure with the New England Patriots, but they didn't want to pay him. At least according to him, they didn't want to pay him what he was worth. And so he goes and he finds another job, and then even though he didn't have great numbers in this game against the Patriots, he felt like he was vindicated because it was such a blowout.
Real sweet win, you know, especially when you used to be there and they didn't want to bring you back. So definitely real sweet. I'm happy my teammates came out and played, and I love these guys.
So it is a little personal.
Hell yeah, it's personal. That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your kicked.
That's what happens when you go cheap. You get your A double curvy roads kicked. It's easy to say now, right? Because you beat them. I bet there are a bunch of guys. I mean, it's almost like Patriots South there. They've got a bunch of guys that are former Patriots, not to mention their head coach. But in the case of Deion Lewis, he did do well when he was with the Patriots. My computer just locked up. For Deion Lewis, he wanted to be with them after the 16-17 seasons. Remember, he was with them, and then they didn't want to pay him after last season, and so he ended up finding a new home. And it's not a bad situation for him to be in. There is some familiarity there, but still, you never know how those words might come back to bite you.
When you go cheap, you get your kicked.
Good for the Tennessee Titans, who haven't given up on that AFC South. They've won back-to-back games. They're above 500 again. And even though the Texans seemingly have had a stranglehold on that division, the Titans are creeping up on them. And even the Colts are just below 500. They've won three consecutive games. It's the Jaguars that are putrid and just lost their fifth game in a row. What the heck happened to the Jaguars? Holy crap. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. I'm happy for Dante Fowler that he's now with the winning team and had a very big play for the Rams on Sunday. So we're going to get to more of your calls, and some of your tweets are coming into your Facebook posts. Where do you feel like coaching changes are necessary? We have put up our Monday MVP poll. And so we want you to either vote for someone that you feel like is worthy of your man crush. Your choice could be Mitch Trubisky, Aaron Jones, Drew Brees, Nick Chubb, or you can quote the poll, reply to the poll, send us your own candidate that you feel like is more worthy. We went back and forth on Aaron Jones and Ezekiel Elliott, so it's really difficult to narrow it down to four guys, but Twitter only allows you to have four guys, so don't get offended. No need for that. Just go ahead and send us your own name and your own candidate for hashtag Monday MVP. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Mitch Trubisky, a career high 355 yards. He goes 23 of 30, four total touchdowns for the young Bears QB. And as I watch him, I feel like he gets better every week. He's more of a slow burn. Right, he's absorbing everything. He's building a cache of wisdom and experience, and he just gets better. And it helps that the Lions defense doesn't have a ton of teeth. In fact, it's an older lion that's lost a bunch of its teeth. But the Bears, they get confidence from their own defense. Khalil Mack was back. He had two sacks, and they were able to get to Matt Stafford over and over again. They also had three turnovers, so three takeaways from the Bears defense. So it's great. You can play a little freer when you have a defense that gives you that margin of error. But the way that Trubisky is building chemistry with his various receivers, like an Allen Robinson, who had a couple of touchdowns. It's kind of fun to see this team grow up and blossom and get better. There certainly have been growing pains. The Bears have gone through a lot of transition from coach to general manager to quarterbacks. But they're building. Their defense has been solid the last 2 years. They added a superstar piece in Mac, and now their quarterback is coming along too. So I think it's a cool story. And they're 6-3. They're still on top of the NFC North.
The Chicago Bears.
Yeah, yeah, voice God. We're on the same page. So Trubisky is one of our Monday MVP candidates.
We were just out there having fun today. We just, everyone was doing their job, and we just went out there to play, and the plays made themselves because we were just going out there not thinking, just translated the work we put in practice on game day.
It also did help that it was a big victory, and it overshadowed what was a brutal day for their kicker, Cody Parkey. I actually used the hashtag ParkParkey on Sunday. I don't know if I put salute to service on that one. I probably did not. Anyway, Cody Parkey hit the uprights not once, not twice, not three times, four times. You know what it reminded me of? When I play golf, I aim for the water. Because if I aim for the water, I will not put the ball in the water. He should have aimed for the uprights so that he didn't get the ball on the uprights. So that's hard to do. Four times. Do you think if he was aiming, he actually could have hit the uprights four different times?
Well, I guess, you know, if I aim an inch to the left, I would have made, at least three of them. So one of those things, I just have to, honestly, it's comical. I hit the post four times. I mean, that's got to be a stat, right? That's got to be impressive. But anyway, I let my team down today. I let myself down today. And I just got to keep swinging.
I mean, I don't know if impressed is the word I would use. It was some morbid fascination. It's like watching a train wreck. Rubbernecking. That's what I was doing while I was watching Cody Parkey. Almost comical, he says. Now, I did hear that the Bears are not going to make a change at kicker, but if they had lost, they might be rethinking that and maybe be into making a change.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
It's like Alabama. Now, I'm not suggesting the Bears are as dominant, but can you imagine if Alabama had a kicking game? This is the big weakness for the Bears right now, their lack of a kicking game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Jay, who's in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good.
John Harbaugh has to go. I've never heard of anything about having a mutual decision to step down in the middle of the season.
No, it's not. It's not middle of the season. It's not going to be middle of the season.
No, I mean, just had that agreement that after the season, you know, we're going to mutually part ways. I ain't never heard anything of any other team ever doing that. Oh. It sounds like you've given up.
No, it's pretty common. I mean, essentially, they recognize that a change needs to be made. They've got a new general manager coming in or taking over, I should say. And so it's pretty common that they already know that they're going to make this change. I mean, the fact that it's getting out, that it's being leaked is maybe the difference. But, yeah, I don't know that this is that uncommon. They recognize the writing on the wall.
Well, the writing should change a little bit quicker because John really does need to go. We need a new type of mind in there because the special teams coordinator, he's done well over the years. He'll get another job quickly. But, yeah, it's time for another philosophy up in the cast.
Well, what benefit does it do the Ravens if they make the change now?
No, not now. I'm saying I agree that after the season he needs to go to have a new philosopher come in, hopefully an offensive mind coach next season. But who knows? You have a great night, and as always, I love your laugh, Amy.
Oh, thank you, Jay. I appreciate that from Baltimore. Yeah, it doesn't benefit any team, really, to make a change in the middle of the season unless it's self-destructive. Now, I don't even know if I agree that what was happening in Cleveland with Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley was about to implode, but they were worried about Baker Mayfield. And I will say that Greg Williams deserves a ton of credit for the way that he's not only continued to coordinate the defense that's lost some pieces to injuries, but also making sure that the team stays together and stays energetic and enthusiastic. They're not folding after the turmoil. They could have very easily fallen apart, but it's a tribute to Williams that he's keeping them loose and that he's keeping them focused on the task at hand. And they're maybe not going to end up as a 500 team. Maybe they will. Playoffs is probably not part of their 2018 campaign, but you wouldn't know it by watching them play. They go out there with a whole ton of heart and with a lot of energy. And it's, you know, the rookies, the young guys themselves are still playing like everything is riding on these games. And that all starts at the top. Let's talk to Jackson, who's in Galveston. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Amy. My Kansas City Chiefs, first and foremost, one of the best records in the NFL at the moment. And second off, we cannot lose sight of all people, the San Diego Chargers, the L.A. Chargers, because the L.A. Chargers are on our hind end, and the L.A. Chargers are in our division. That's the one thing that a lot of people are losing sight of. Another thing is
not
that,
me. I spent time talking about it earlier on the show.
Yeah.
And how nice it is for the Chargers to be able to fly under the radar because everybody in that division is pointing to the Chiefs, and yet the Chiefs can't shake them. They've won six in a row, albeit against, you know, really bad teams. Like, they're in a stretch of eight games right now where only one of their opponents has a better than 500 record. And so they're definitely building this win streak on the backs of some of the, you know, the ugly, poor, redheaded stepchildren in the NFL. But it doesn't matter. I mean, a win is a win is a win.
Well, as much as people are looking at us as the, you know, the bad redheaded stepchild.
No, that's not what I said.
Oh.
I said they're building their win. They're building their win streak on the backs of teams that are, like, losing teams in the NFL. So the bad teams in the NFL, they're playing them, seven out of eight teams with losing records, and they're building that win streak against bad teams. But it doesn't matter because it's all about your wins. It's not about your quality or your strength of schedule.
Well, the media keeps looking at us as someone that ain't that's not all that good come the playoffs. Well, wait till the playoffs and the road will go through Arrowhead is what I've got to say. Besides that, Patrick
wait, are you
Mahomes,
talking about the Chiefs or are you talking about the Chargers?
Chiefs.
No one is looking at the Chiefs and saying that they are not going to be any good in the playoffs. I have not heard that from one person. This is a different group. Now, granted, they haven't won a Super Bowl. They keep running into better teams in the playoffs. The Andy Reid Chiefs. But that doesn't mean that this team is not dangerous. I've not heard one person say that, Jackson.
I've heard it from a couple guys on the not Tony Dungy, but the guy next to him. It's the former Charger and the former New England Patriot. He's not a very big fan of them.
That's one guy.
Yeah.
So what?
But as far as everything else, Patrick Mahomes. I will have to say, his
abilities, his talent.
Well, not just his ability, not just his talent, but his girlfriend's father just passed away.
Okay.
Earlier today, as soon as the game was over.
Okay.
And I send my best wishes out to him, his family, after everything had happened. She posted on Instagram earlier today and about what had happened right after the game. And that's why he didn't do any interviews, because he just today broke Lynn Dawson's record from 1962.
Yep.
Okay. And that's why a lot of things were not done after the game. And a lot of people don't know, but Lynn Dawson had held that record for well over 40 to 50 years. And, you know, Lynn Dawson was ahead of his time. Lynn Dawson had done a lot of passing records, held 6 out of 10 passing records from the old AFL.
Okay.
And back then, when the old AFL merged with the NFL, he gets overlooked a lot by the all-time great quarterbacks. And as far as I'm concerned, I think he's one of the best ever. Maybe not one of the best ever as far as past the 1980s, because I think the past the 1980s, you got to look at a guy like Dan Marino.
Okay. Yeah, different era for sure. Jackson, I have to let you go. You got about 10 seconds to wrap up.
Appreciate everything and take care.
All right. Thank you, sir. Yes. I don't know who's saying the Chiefs aren't dangerous. I get it that in the Andy Reid era, they have run into better teams in the AFC, namely the Patriots a bunch. But this is a different team, and he's got that offense set up exactly the way he wants it. I don't know how things work out, but I do know that right now they are in front for a top seed and a bye, and that's huge, especially if you're talking about New England. Things are so different when you have to go to New England in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era. Teams that have to go to New England have a far slimmer chance of coming away with a victory in the postseason. That's a cut and dried fact. And so if you have to go to Arrowhead, it'd be a completely different story. Or could be, I should say. 855-212-4227. Coming up next, in the meantime, I want you to vote for our Monday MVP on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up next, it was Matt Barkley's first start in 2 years. Just happened to be against an AFC East opponent that wanted to make him look really good.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is one of the stunning surprises. Not that the Bills beat the Jets. All right, they're in the AFC East. They know each other well. Also, the Jets they're in a miserable place. And while not a whole lot of people have pointed to Todd Bowles as a potential coaching change right now, as in immediately, because they're going into a bye week, there is a definite possibility that could happen. This was brutal for the Jets. But how about the Bills' perspective? They start Matt Barkley, their fourth different starter at quarterback this season. And we're in week 10, for heaven's sakes. It's week 10, and they've started four different quarterbacks, two of whom they signed off the couch, right? So Matt Barkley didn't have a job. Remember, Derek Anderson didn't have a job. And Sean McDermott's trying so hard to figure out something that works. And I just keep reminding myself or remembering they had A.J. McCarron in the preseason. They traded him away. Anyway, that's neither here nor there because they can't get him back. So it's Matt Barkley's turn to start over Nathan Peterman. That was a smart decision. And it's one of the best halves of the year for Buffalo. They open up against the Jets. Barkley has 146 yards and a touchdown in the first half. They have a 31-3 lead at the break. They go 3-for-3 in the red zone, which is why you hear John Murphy saying, "Who are these guys?"
Everything's coming up, Buffalo.
Very rarely, but it was on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. LeSean McCoy ended up with his first and second touchdowns of the year. I didn't realize he hadn't gotten in the end zone yet, but that makes sense. So his first and second TDs come in this game, and the Bills are over 200 yards rushing. Man, it's crazy how many teams were over 200 yards rushing on Sunday as well. The Bills scored on 5 of their first 7 drives. And this is with Charles Barkley. Uh-oh. That's actually funny. It might as well have been Charles Barkley. This is with Matt Barkley just having 2 weeks of practice under his belt. And one of his TD passes, of course, goes to an eligible offensive lineman. You know, you have to check in that way and you have to report as eligible. But Deion Dawkins catches the touchdown pass.
I knew we were confident going into this game, but, I mean, that was a fun win. You don't really see many like that. And, I mean, I think it kind of is the definition of a team win, too, from the turnovers that we had. And, the running game was on point. I mean, we had playmakers on this team, and they kind of showed up today, so it was fun.
And Barkley did a great job of just controlling the offense. And he's still new here. The way he went out there and controlled the game and made plays, converted on third down, deep passes, you know, checked out of different plays, shows a lot about his character, his hard work and preparation.
So Matt Barkley and then Shady McCoy, and apparently they were planning on starting Josh Allen again after the break. Now, I don't know what they do. I get it. It's not like they're challenging for a playoff spot. They're at 3-7, but you know what? Winning is way better than losing. So if you are about the winning, then maybe you stall bringing Josh Allen back and you leave this offense together. I mean, this is probably the best feeling they've had all year, save maybe that victory at Minneapolis. Remember, that was earlier in the year? So I don't know. I mean, they're supposedly going back to Josh Allen, but I'm happy for Barkley, his first start since Well, it first started in 2 years, which is just awesome. Just football is so crazy. All right, our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. And if you need some homeowners, some renters, some motorcycle insurance to go along with your car insurance, you can package it all at geico.com. As I mentioned, the New York Jets, they're also at 3-7, but this was a brutal fourth consecutive loss for them. They did not play well. They look like a shadow of themselves. Now, they didn't have Sam Darnold, and he brings a lot of energy, but he's injured, and they were okay with giving him not just this week off, but they're going into a bye. So maybe giving the rookie a chance to just take a deep breath. That makes sense. He looked like he was overwhelmed last week and made poor decisions and maybe just needed a break. So instead, they go to Josh McCown, 39 years old, and you know, he's still playing in the NFL, which is something, but he ended up with a couple of interceptions, and it was pretty brutal for the Jets all around.
I think the effort's there. I just think, you know, it's execution. We got to go out and play better. You know, you look around the field today, and I don't know if there's, you know, there was one bright spot for us. We just didn't play well, everybody, to a man, and we have to be better. That's really all you can say about it.
It's tough. We haven't been a part of one of these in a long time. I think since Indianapolis a few years ago on a night game, and we didn't coach well in any aspect of the game. We didn't play well in any aspect of the game. So everything that could have went wrong went wrong.
I would not be surprised if the Jets made a coaching change. I haven't heard much about it midseason, whether or not this is something that they might do. But he's been on the hot seat anyway. And they may not think he's the right guy to coach Sam Darnold moving forward. It's come off the rails for the Jets. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Brian, who's in Jacksonville. Welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been listening to the reaction of the fans on the Philadelphia station and on the New York station. And they're both of them are devastated. The Philadelphia fans were arrogant and ridiculing the Cowboys. And while I don't like the Cowboys, they had a better team, and the better team won. And the same is the case. I think that the Bills have a better roster than the Jets. Were you which game surprised you the most, Amy? As far as
well, this one did. Yeah, no, this one did, just because of how lopsided it was with Matt Barkley as the Bills' quarterback. I would also say I expected a little more from the Falcons. I'm not surprised that the Browns' offense played well against the Falcons' defense, but I was a little surprised at how lopsided that game was, because Atlanta came in with a full head of steam and they have so much to play for. So those two kind of surprised me. The Patriots looked really bad. I don't know if I expected them to win necessarily in Tennessee, but they looked pretty bad too. So yeah, there were some that were surprising, but with the Bills, how bad they've been all year, I kind of expected a 6-3 game.
I think the thing I'm going to be watching, the top 4 or 5 teams between now and the end of the season, is the health and the depth of the offensive line. I think that'll make the difference.
For what team?
Minnesota. Okay.
For the Vikings. Okay.
Yeah, Minnesota. Not Minnesota. New Orleans, the Rams.
For the Saints. Okay.
Yeah. The Saints, all the right. Rams. What I'm saying, those 4 or 5 teams that are truly, because they're in the thick of it now, I just think this season more than ever, the health of the offense and the performance of the offensive line and the safeties on the defense are making a difference at the, you know, like the last 4 games. What do you think?
Are we talking about the Saints right now?
No, I'm talking about just in general of the 5 top contenders.
Well, I think of the five top teams, their offenses are all pretty good. And I'm not sure exactly which 5 you're talking about, but if you're looking at, let's say, the Chiefs and the Saints and the Rams, those are the teams right now that all have just the one loss. You're talking about those teams, I think their defenses are all the question marks. I mean, the Saints have been better than what people expected. They've been really good at stuffing the run, but their secondary has been somewhat susceptible, better lately. Obviously, the Rams have had a lot of transition. They're still trying to be able to stuff the run themselves. They gave up so many running yards to the Seahawks. And the Chiefs have been susceptible on defense, for sure, their secondary. So if you're talking about those 3 teams, yeah, the defenses are the weaker sides of the football, but they generally have a greater margin for error because of the offense.
I think you made a good point, too, as far as this year, probably more than ever, the home field advantage is going to be huge. Going to be huge when we get down to playoff time.
Well, it always is for the Patriots. When the Patriots have home field in the playoffs, they generally are going to the Super Bowl. So if they don't have it and they have to go on the road, that changes things in the AFC. And right now, the Chiefs are in the driver's seat. They've got a bit of a margin for error, but also the Steelers are right there. And, you know, you're talking about a bit of an uphill climb for the Patriots. So it'll be interesting to see. I like the fact that you've got the Chiefs in a position where they can control their own path here on out. However, they do have a major landmine coming up on Monday night in Mexico City against the Rams. So that's going to be a really good gauge.
Let me give you a name for a coach.
You got to hurry.
Okay. Bill Cowher for the Jets in the future.
I would love to see Bill Cowher on the sidelines again, but I don't know that he's going to leave his cushy broadcasting chair. But I would love to see him patrolling the sidelines again. He's old school, and I think he's awesome. I just don't know if he'll ever leave what he's doing now because, you know, it's nice. It's a lot easier. Thanks so much for your phone call from Jacksonville. I appreciate hearing from you. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Quite a Sunday in the NFL. We had some big surprises. We've got our Monday MVP poll that's up. We're going to get back to Sunday Night Football because the Cowboys are right there in the thick of things. Can't make a coaching change now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.